Welcome to the Feminist Fortitude Podcast. This is a continuation of my last podcast, which was titled Asking Ourselves Why. I want to thank everyone for the support that you guys have shown so far. And I also want to do a continuation because I realized I left you guys with so many questions, although that was basically the purpose of the episode. But today, I have some answers to some of the questions. Actually, it was just one question, so I have like a couple of answers that could apply to that one question. Ta-da! Yeah, because I'm that girl. And also, I am bored and have nothing to do. But yeah, let us keep in mind, though, that I am not a professional at anything. Basically, at anything. So, everything that I say here, I take it with a pinch of salt, reevaluate it, don't take it like it's the whole gospel or something like that. And I forgot what I was to say. Basically, what I mean is I'm just a girl with internet and a voice. But other than that, let's get into it. So, if you have not watched the previous episode, I was asking why us women, I centered majorly on women, but if you're a guy and it applies to you too as well, it's okay. Welcome to the family. the question was, why do we get into relationships when we know they are bad for us, when we are aware that this is not gonna end well, we can see the red flags and everything, but we're like, you know what, I don't care, I'm still going to get into the relationship. And even after that, why we stay in them again, like you're in a relationship and you know this relationship is going to shit, and you know it's not what you want in a relationship, but you still stay. And today I have some answers as to why. So some of this may apply to you, some of this may not. It could be only one applies, it could be a mixture of most things, and it could be none. And that's okay. If it's none though, kindly tell me so I can look further. I can do more research, and you could also maybe give me a personalized view. Anyway, so I think the first thing that I'm going to talk about is low self-esteem. And I know that sounds jarring, like, oh no, I don't have low self-esteem. But, you know, when we talk about low self-esteem, we think about this person who really, really doesn't like themselves. And I know, like, it can be like that, but also, you can have self-esteem, good self-esteem in some things, but when it comes to some other things, you're like, hey, nah, which is good. It's good to know yourself, but sometimes we perceive ourselves in, like, a harsh way. And I'm going to talk about especially low self-esteem when it comes to looks, attractiveness. So one reason we get into bad relationships or stay with in bad relationships is when we perceive ourselves to be less attractive than the person we are dating. And I don't know, I think like this would be something that maybe has applied to me in the past, where like you cannot believe that this hot guy, and I mean like hot guy, is into you, little old you, because they're just physically attractive, and maybe you're not used to being noticed by very attractive guys. You don't perceive yourself to be in that level, and so you're like, me, he wants to date me. And actually, there are some studies, because I've done research, but I'm not going to read the studies out for you guys, because this is not that episode. But like, yeah, there are studies that have proven that people who perceive themselves to be less attractive than their partners tend to stay in the relationship, even when it's like below par, even when it constitutes of things that they maybe would regard in other situations to be like to make a bad relationship. If the person they're dating is more attractive than them, in quotes, then they will stay. And I think that it sounds a bit morbid to say that's low self-esteem, but it is. Because you just don't feel you are as attractive as this person. And I think sometimes the person senses it and they may choose it to manipulate you. So you can look at that, if that is maybe what applies to you. And even sometimes it's not like the person is more attractive than you, but like you yourself do not regard yourself as attractive. For example, we all know what what the beauty standard is, and unfortunately, that's a whole other discussion, but like most of us may not fit into that beauty standard. So when we get someone who chooses us, we feel like they did us a favor maybe, and we want to hold on to that because we are not aware that, or we do not believe that someone else can choose us. Like, you don't want to go back and be like, oh my god, they were the only person that could choose me. And so we're afraid to leave, and we're afraid to say, no, I don't want to be in a relationship with you. So yeah, if that applies to you, that's okay, it's fine. I'm sure it applies to a lot of us. And I don't know, maybe we'll do an episode discussing how to now move on from this. depending on how much you like this episode though. There was also something else that I found, and I think it also applies to a lot of us. And that is positive illusions or partner enhancement. And this is where it's like selective amnesia, selective memory, where we only see the good things in our partner and like completely disregard the bad ones, or we hold the good things at a higher esteem than the bad ones. Because if your partner is, let's say, doesn't have good communication skills, yeah, but they are really good at gift giving, we might now start to feel as if gift giving holds more water in that relationship than communicating. I don't know whether I'm voicing that right, wording that right, but like you start to see gift giving as better than even communicating. You'd be like, he might not know how to communicate, but he's superb at gift giving. And maybe this was not even the case before you got into that relationship. Like before you got into the relationship, you're like, communication for me is number one. But when you get a partner and they are not as good at what you may perceive to be the key to a good relationship, but they are good at something else, you start enhancing their positive sides. So I think we also have to check if that is what maybe some of us do. But I think it's really important to, even if you need to be flexible, because not everyone is the same, I believe you need to stay true to yourself. And that is why actually I was advising some of my friends, but we were just like talking. And I actually saw this from, again, the girl from TikTok, the girl from YouTube, Kiera Bria. She says to make an ick list. And an ick list is basically a list, and like a physical list, where you've written down things you never want to condone again in a relationship. You write them down. So that if you ever get into a relationship, or if you're seeing someone or talking to someone, you will have the ick list to remind you. Because at that time, when you're talking to them or when you're in a relationship with them, some things they do may not seem that bad. But when you go and check the ick list, it's at like number one, and you're like, oh my god. Because I feel like the ick list will remind you, what are you doing? Like, you said you don't condone this, and here you are. But again, I think even with the ick list, you need to be mentally prepared to leave, or like to admit to yourself. Good thing with the ick list, like it's there. And I would advise people to write the ick list when they are single, not when they're in a relationship, because then it will be very hard for you to write things that ick you, yet they are like the person you're seeing does them. So yeah, make an ick list so that you don't enhance the positive sides of your partner while disregarding the negative ones. Next, I think manipulation, where this is just a whole topic on its own, so I'm not going to get into it, but our partners can manipulate us to stay with them, and that includes gaslighting you, belittling you, etc, etc. And if you think this is happening to you, girl, run. And belittling you will be like, oh, anything that makes you feel like they're telling you if you leave, you will not find someone like them, or that you're little or insignificant. And it doesn't have to be what they say, just how it makes you feel. That's what is important. And if anyone is making you feel less than, girl, I think that person is manipulating you. Gaslighting is if the person makes you feel like you're crazy or like you're going insane. And gaslighting, actually, in case, for example, they do something, yeah? And you confront them about it and they're like, no, that didn't happen that way. It happened this way. And you start asking, oh my God, wait, did it actually happen my way or their way? Run. I'm not going to talk about manipulation because I don't feel even half qualified to do it. But there are so many people online who talk about being in manipulative relationships, being in relationships with narcissists. Kindly check that out, please. Number 3, 4. Is if we have invested in a person, and I feel like this ties very closely with financial dependency, because if you have been with a person and you've invested in the person or with the person, then you can't just wake up and leave, because what about your investments? And this includes especially if you've moved in with a person, because you've been paying for that house, maybe you've been paying for the things in that house. You may not have somewhere else to go. And I totally, like, understand that. And there was a time I was taking a course on domestic violence. Yeah, like helping women who have gone through domestic violence. It was an online course. And one thing they advised in that course is to make a plan, have a plan. Way before you leave, like the minute you realize you want to leave, make a plan. Let it be physical, but also like it can be hidden. Okay, that was in that case, because most women, like because them, there was the risk of physical danger, especially if the plan was found. But like, just make a plan. When I leave, I will go to this and this place. I will be getting money, this and this. Here are the friends that I can reach out to support me. I will leave on this day. I have this amount of cash. etc. If I have children, where will they be? In short, it's just a little plan to make sure you have all the bases covered. Because the minute you decide, oh, I'm leaving without a plan, trust me, you'll be back there in a few hours. Because where are you leaving to go? You don't know. So yeah, I would advise anyone who, even if you've just made investments, it doesn't have to be as deep as domestic violence. You just have to know, this is what I've invested. Is this person open to splitting what we have invested in? If not, how far am I willing to go to get back on my investments? Or like, to get the payout of my investments? Also, am I willing to just let the investments die out? Or like, am I willing to just let them reap the fruits of my investment? And where else can I invest? Blah, 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 blah. So I think also a written plan is very important. If you're in the case of an investment or you're financially dependent on that person, make a plan way before, like immediately you decide you want to leave. If your life is not in danger, if your mental health is not in complete danger, if you feel like you can survive maybe a few more days, I would advise that you make a plan. So when you leave completely. It makes no sense to leave and then just come back. I think a plan provides a sustainability. Look at your girl talking like a counselor, a marriage counselor. Anyway, wait. The other one was love, and I'm not gonna advise you guys on love issues, but like with love, you know this person is shit, but I think I don't even think I'm going to talk about this, mostly because I've not experienced it, So I wouldn't know what to say, at least with the positive illusions, the perceiving yourself to be less attractive. I don't know, I might have first-hand experience. Manipulation, I've read a lot about it. Investments, again, as I've told you, I've done a bit of a course in it. But love, yo, acha tu yachie next time. Then there was this there's this meme that a friend of mine sent us in the group chat, and it was like, ooh, when our friend goes back to the ex, even after we spent days advising them on leaving him, and she goes back, and we laughed because, yeah, it has happened. But I came across this, and I was like, yeah, this is it. This is the reason they went back, and it's called psychological reactance. So psychological reactance is when your friends, family, etc. are telling you, leave this man, bitch, what are you doing? You're better than this, and what, like, they're all urging you to leave. But you go back because you want to feel a certain sense of independence, like, no, it's my choice. Like, if you get what I mean, I don't know whether I'll find it, but let me just read it for you, because I feel like this will be better when it's read. Oh my god, just give me a minute. Da, 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 da. Let me just be entertaining you a little bit with songs. Wow. Okay. I don't think I'll be able to read it for you guys. This is getting already way too long. But yeah, it's basically when you move in the opposite direction of the advice that you're being given simply because you want to feel like you're independent. And I also get this. I get this a lot because you feel as if people are making the decision for you. Especially when everyone is just like, nobody's giving you a chance to like say what you want. And you know, sometimes like what you want is in line with what they want, but you just don't want to do that because it's what they want. And you want to feel like, no, I'm independent. I'm the one making my own decisions. It's just kind of like when you plan to clean your room and then your mom comes and like, clean the room, and now you're not going to do it. Yeah, I think that's a good that. So yeah, tell me what you think, if these whys apply to you, da, da, da. And then if you want us to also go through some ways that we can solve this, though, I don't know if I have the qualifications to do that kind of episode. But at least now you know the whys, because someone told me the whys were not wiring. So yeah, maybe this whys can help you understand. And if it's any one of these, it's okay. We are all humans. We all go through this. Believe me, literally almost everyone in the world has checked one of these why boxes. So yeah, I can't wait to see you next time. Also, the next episode that I'm planning will be a bop. So make sure you stay tuned for that one. Thank you very much for listening. See ya. Bye. Wait. Before you go, I think there's one that I forgot, and it was called low quality alternatives, meaning that you don't see any other viable alternative. Like, it's this person, or like the ones that are there are just worse than them, or being alone just sounds worse than being in this relationship. And I think that ties into a lot of what we talked about last time, which is the ideology that we're supposed to be with someone that has been fed to us from when we were young, and also the fear of being alone. And I think that is what we just said, and loneliness. So yeah, in case you went through the whys and you couldn't find that one, and you were like, yeah, there it is. Also, I think I'm curating a list of like tips on how to be okay alone, how to be good alone, etc. So yeah, also stay tuned for that one. See you for real now.